And now, The Life of Mary Sutherland. A chance remark, a simple request, so casual a thing as a phone call, may change the destinies of men and women and the paths their lives shall follow. When Dr. John Benson answered his phone in Sanders last night, he could not know that his talk with Mary would mark a turning point in his life. Could not have foreseen what swiftly moving currents would be set in motion by the simple request she made. Nor could he know that after their brief, matter-of-fact conversation, his life would never be the same again. Even now, as he drives along the road, bridging the 80-odd miles from Sanders to Craig Falls, he thinks of the direct implications of that call, of one all-important fact. He speeds over the gently rolling countryside, his thoughts far from the snow-capped hillocks, the farmhouses, red, white, and yellow against the background of waning winter. In memory, he thinks again and again of his talk last night with Mary. The talk he will remember, though he does not know it now, through the months and the years ahead. And the words spoken last night come back to him now.
Hello? Hello, is that you, John?
Mary?
Yes, it's Mary. I'm calling from Craig's Falls.
Oh, I've been thinking about you, my dear. It's good to hear your voice. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
And the job?
Going beautifully.
That's splendid. I was planning to drop you a line tomorrow, Mary, and suggest that I come over this weekend. I want to speak to you.
John, I called to ask if you'd do me a favor. I hesitate to ask you.
Please, don't have any reservations, Mary. Good heavens, you know me well enough for that, I should hope. What is it?
I'd like you to come to Craig's Falls if you can arrange it before the weekend. I'd like you to come tomorrow if you can. It's quite urgent, John. There's no one else I can turn to. I need you.
My dear, if you need me, there's nothing more to be said.
It's about a...
Don't say another word, my dear. Of course I'll come. You can expect me in Craig's Falls about noon.
She needs me. I'm the only one she can turn to. I never expected to hear Mary say those words to me again. The only one she can turn to. Not Father Brady, not that Drake fellow, no one else but me. I wonder if she needs me only as a doctor. She's not ill. Her children? Somewhere else? It's almost too much to hope that she's changed her mind. But she wants to come back to Sanders. Yeah, I'm just guessing. I'll find out soon enough. The important thing is that she needs to trust me. Relies on me, and not David Drake. Yes, I'm important to her. That's what really matters. That's what I've got to make her see. She needs me.
A phone call. Once more bringing John Benson and Mary together, destined to affect their lives in a strange, unexplainable manner. Yet another phone call, also destined to affect human lives, was made this morning in the city of Craig's Falls. And now, following his conversation with Father Brady, David Drake walks down the hall of the neighborhood settlement house towards the office of the priest, his lifelong friend. It is a thoughtful David we see, a David who only last night questioned the wisdom of Mary's phoning John Benson. Questioned her for a reason he himself but vaguely realizes. He nears the office of Father Brady, knocks, and we hear.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
You came right over, I see. Come in, come in. Hey, you seemed a little out of sorts when I called you. I didn't get you up, did I?
Oh, no. I haven't been up for some time.
You still don't seem too happy.
Well, I'm not particularly pleased with the world this morning. Something quite upsetting happened last night. I might as well tell you. I've seen pretty much everything anyway.
Well?
Well, after saying goodbye to John Benson just a few days ago, Mary phoned and asked him to come to Craig's Falls.
Well, no reason to be upset over that.
But she used such a weak excuse. She wants him to see Fran Garfield. Actually, I think she misses Benson. I feel she was hiding her real motive.
And why should it concern you if she does miss him?
Well, I'm not sure, Father, but I do know I'd much rather he stayed away from Craig's farm.
Sit down, David. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I asked you to see me this morning for a very special reason.
Yes? What is it, Father?
You and I haven't had a good heart-to-heart talk for a long time, David. I wonder why.
Sure, I don't know.
You used to make it a matter of, well, of almost daily routine to drop in and see me. I've missed our talks together.
Well, you know how it is, Father. A person overlooks something one day, perhaps is busy the next, has other plans the next, and finds he's gotten out of his routine completely.
Oh, of course, David. And I know since Mary came to Craig's Fall, well, you've had good reason to spend your time a little differently than you used to.
Yes, I suppose that's right.
We've known each other a great many years, David. Been through a lot. Been as close, I imagine, as any two men can be. I value your friendship as much as that of any man I know.
And I yours, Father.
I feel... Well, it doesn't help to keep things to oneself or one's dearest friends are concerned, does it?
Oh, certainly not.
Frankly, I don't know the best way to go about this. Believe me, it's not easy. The things I want to tell you, the things I'd like to ask you.
Are you needing hedge with me, Father?
I'd rather not. Do you remember one day a great many years ago when I refused to swim with the rest of you across the river because I was afraid?
Yes, I remember. It was quite a swim.
Yes, but with the refreshing directness of childhood and adolescence, you called me, what was it? A weakling and a coward.
Yes, I remember it very well.
Whether the names were deserved or not is beside the point I'm making, David. The point is that in those days you were more than willing to call a thing by its right name. A spade was a spade, a weakling, and a coward a coward. I'm sorry, but I can't say that I feel you're as honest now, either with yourself or others, as you were then.
I'd like you to explain that, Father.
You're not offended.
Didn't you just say one shouldn't keep things to oneself where childhood friends are concerned?
Yes, I did. One of the saddest sights in the world to me, David, is to see a man with great possibilities. A man who used to have dreams, ambitions, hopes, and high aspirations. Spend his life in aimless, pointless wandering. To drift when he might succeed. To live without reason, without direction. To throw away those dreams and aspirations he once held. And become a person who meanders and wanders through life. A man with ability who has proven his worth on the fire. Yet who, when adversity first came to him, gave up to spend his life in vague, formless regret. It's not a happy picture, David.
Oh, I suppose it isn't.
You merely suppose?
No, everything you say is true, Father, every single word of it. But don't forget the adversity that came to me.
It makes no difference, David. You needed some time to get over it, of course. Your experience was something few men face. But it happened years ago. Since then, you've thrown the years away. Don't you think it's time you faced life squarely and picked up the threads again?
That's easy to say.
And it can be done, David. I'm sure of it. I realize for years you've had no incentive. You've taken the easiest way, which was drifting. I know what you thought. I'm one of the few people who know why. Put all that behind you now, David. Now it's not too late. Well, you've a whole lifetime.
Now, you see? Why is now any different than last week, the last month, the last year? Why now?
Because now you have an incentive.
An incentive? You're thinking of what?
Of Mary.
Aren't you jumping at conclusion?
I wonder. I've seen it growing for some time, David. One doesn't mistake the signs, you know. It's been apparent in many ways. And today you're upset because she turned to John Benson. Whether you'll admit it or not, I believe you're in love with Mary Southern.
Father Brady, who knows the thoughts of David Drake, the reasons behind his quiet acceptance of defeat. David, confused, without a purpose. John Benson, on his way to Craig's Falls, because the woman he loves has called him. three lives whose threads are woven into the pattern of the life of Mary Sutton. Now, you may already know that if you get Itana toothpaste today and use it with massage regularly, it helps make your gums firmer, your teeth brighter, your smile more lovely. But here's something that you may not know. With Itana, there's indication that you're helping the health of your gums. When you brush your teeth with Itana and then massage a little extra Itana into your gum walls, you feel a tang, a tingly sensation that actually indicates that you're helping the health of your gums. What's more, you feel that tang instantly, the very first time you use Itana with massage. You feel the stimulating effect on the circulation of your gums, just as surely as you feel the stimulating effect of a brisk rub down on your body. And of course, that stimulation, that exercise you get with Itana and massage, is important to your oral health, to the sparkle of your teeth, to the beauty of your smile. Remember, you don't have to wait till tomorrow or next week to feel the exclusive Itana tang. You can feel it tonight. Just get an economical tube of Itana at your drugstore without delay and use it with massage tonight when you brush your teeth. David, realizing for perhaps the first time his unworthiness of the love of Mary Sutton, questions Mary regarding a vitally important problem before the arrival of John Benson. Be sure not to miss tomorrow's dramatic chapter in the life of Mary Sutton. The life of Mary Sutton. The human story of a woman who, in an unsettled, changing world, seeks peace, happiness, and security for herself and for her children. Mary Sutton is presented each weekday by the makers of Itana toothpaste. When you learn that Itana is the best-selling toothpaste in this country, well, you get a pretty good idea of how many millions of people like you and me prefer Itana. But maybe you've wondered, how about professional men? How about dentists and physicians? What dentifrice do they prefer? Well, we have an answer to that question, too. Just recently, one of the biggest magazines in this country asked thousands of dentists and physicians what toothpaste they use themselves, personally. When they sent in their answers, do you know what we found? That twice as many personally preferred Itana toothpaste to the next most popular dentifrice of any type. Seems to indicate that there's something unusual about Itana, doesn't it? There is something unusual about this famous, best-selling toothpaste. It is unsurpassed for cleaning your teeth. But even more important, when you use Itana with massage, you help stimulate your gums. Help make them firmer, more resistant to oral trouble. And more people are learning that firm, healthy gums are the very basis of bright, good-looking teeth and the lovely, attractive smile that wins friends. So for your own sake and for the sake of your family, remember this the next time you buy a dentifrice. Itana toothpaste in the red and yellow package is the dentifrice that helps make your gums healthier, your teeth brighter, your smile more beautiful. Then I believe you'll also remember to get Itana. So today, why not ask for an economical tube of Itana, the toothpaste used by more dentists than any other dentifrice of any type. And now, the life of Mary Sutton. The beliefs of other people, their thoughts, ideas, actions, the counsels of our friends. These things will influence our lives, whether we will them to or not. The counsel of Father Brady, straightforward and sincere, has brought to the consciousness of David Drake the realization, perhaps for the first time, that he is an aimless wanderer through life, a man without a purpose, an individual who has given up his first encounter with adversity. The kindly priest, his lifelong friend, who seeks only to spur David's ambition, also told David that he believed him to be in love with Mary Southern. And David, confused, bewildered, jealous of Mary's reliance on John Benson, not yet admitting even to himself that he loves her, returns now to the boarding house after his talk with Father Brady.